have awakened. Our time is now. This is about reclamation of the feminine spirit embodiment here on Earth. Here I share the practices, the studies about women who practice the sacred arts and who live the feminine in a rooted holding from the masculine, a way of raising our children where we are free. Take a listen and welcome to my podcast. Okay, welcome everybody to the Sacred Art podcast. And today I have Cecilia Dawes with me. I'm chickening out a little bit, but I usually love if my guests introduce themselves because I feel I will miss quite a bit of all of your accolades and what you have accomplished in your life. I do know that the theme we're going to talk about and what will come through is going to be very powerful. I can already feel that. And yeah, welcome to this podcast. And I would just love for you to tell the listeners and anyone watching who you are in the world.
Yes, thank you. That's always been a difficult one, this who I am in the world, because it's a very shifting thing. But right now, I'm mainly a mother. I have a daughter who is 2.5 years old. I work as a teacher. It's my daily job, which is economically supporting me. And I also have my own company, Food Studio, which I established 11 years ago. And that has been quite a journey for me. So I guess it's more like a life project than only a business to me. Yeah, I can maybe say a bit more about why later, because it's a long story. But I was really introduced into food and health through my own body and my journey. I grew up with quite a lot of autoimmune diseases. So I remember having very troubled teenage years, both kind of everything happening in the face, but also with my body. So I had allergies, asthma, migraine, a lot of eczema. And in 2005, I was studying abroad in Hawaii, where I first got super ill, like the processed food in the States and that kind of lifestyle was not really good to me. And then I got desperate and found some people there that was on the other part of health and understanding of that, was that who had actually healed himself from cancer. And he helped me with this diet. And this is a long time ago, 2005. We have done a lot in understanding food, autoimmune diseases and inflammation in the body. But in a way, it's all linked. And the type of understanding that I was introduced to then is very much the same advice as you would get today when we talk about the digestive system. Yeah, so I was introduced to that quite early, and all of my symptoms disappeared. So I was just left with this question of why do we not talk about this? Why can I heal myself this easy and getting rid of all these things? Because it was really taking away the wealth and freedom, energy in my life. So it was a huge difference.
Wow. There's so much to talk about in just what you said, because it's, you know, it's a life story. It's a long journey. And thank you for sharing so openly about your journey. I'm sure it hasn't been easy all the time either. I think there's many things that we could talk about, but I think I would really love to hear, I always ask this anyway, but I just love to hear what people are passionate about. Like, what is your true passion? And then, you know, you can weave it together a little bit more with the story you've been telling. Like, what do you sense is like your purpose in terms of what are you really passionate about? What is like, I can't do anything but this. This is like, if anyone asks me what my purpose is, even if I don't really know what it is, this is what I'm truly passionate about.
I think this year it has been clear to me. It's always been difficult, really difficult to talk about sensitivity and all this, yeah, like to be sensitive in this world. And of course, food sensitivity has been my main thing, but I also can understand now how linked it is to everything else, like how we handle emotions, stress, just the whole system. So I feel lately I understood a lot more about how our nervous system works and how to build more robustness there, and really had a beautiful journey to understand more the holistic part. And then being a mother, I just saw, wow, shit, this is not only me, it's actually transferred to her, and not only for me but also her father. So I suddenly have realized now that before I had more this sustainability, the food system, like the whole thing that I wanted to change, but I didn't really know what and how. I was just like, okay, I want to be a part of at least supporting it in the right direction. And then I worked with trying to inspire people. But at the moment, it feels more like, okay, I have this special ingredient, which is from my own experience. And it's very strong in my life. So I think I need to be more clear about sharing that knowledge.
Yeah. And I love how you just said sensitivity out the gate, and also sensitivity as a mother. And I've been myself really waiting a little bit to share this journey, because it's such a vulnerable journey, yet it is also something that all of us women and mothers go through. And you don't also need to necessarily have a child to listen to this, you know, you will probably feel the resonance in many other places of what we're going to talk about. But I feel as I told you that earlier this morning, as I just tuned into what was coming into my field today, because that's just how it works for me. Like, things come into my field because I'm a sensitive way before they happen. I can sense that they want to be spoken through. And so that's also why I created this channel, so that we as sensitives who might not want to be in the middle of some shopping mall, big expo center, expose ourselves to masses of energy because we are sensitive. So being a sensitive, just for people who don't know what that means you are much more sensitive to, hence the word, any taste, any pesticide as well, any smell, any energy, anything that kind of comes into your field, you will have a much more amplified experience of it. And this means that it's also positive, but it can also, if it's in unbalanced or if it's things that are not supposed to be in the system, you can add your version to this as well. But this is just how I briefly can explain it. And I think many people talk about it, but I feel because mothers and women are so busy being caretakers and also already sensitive, they don't really necessarily all have the time and the capacity to sit on here like we are right now to actually talk about it, to share, and to also expose ourselves, because it's kind of sensitive as a subject.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it was a eye-opener for me to see that, to see it through Aira, my daughter, because in her it's so pure, and she came also a bit early, so of course children who are not, she was like within the normal spectrum of what is okay, but it was kind of, she was very small and tiny, and that kind of felt this extra level of sensitivity from she was born. So, but it also has all these amazing positive things that you can really see clearly through a child. And then most of us have experienced that it's too difficult to be that way in today's society, with just the lights that is in a city, or all the sounds, and we're just very far away from the natural stimuli that helps our nervous system to regulate in a good way. So being in the city is very draining for most of us. And I think if you have numbed yourself to the level where that is completely normal, as I also did, then you don't really see it. So when you have a child and you become a mother, you get this new chance to see it through the lens of them. And that has helped me a lot to also just meet myself, because of course a lot of my wounding is linked to what was difficult for everyone around with me. And now I can see it in her, and I can meet her and help her understand it. And that's a really beautiful process, because I'm also meeting myself.
Yeah, it is. And I think, well, for me, because I was such a young mom, you know, when I had my first son when I was 20. So I was also like not only a sensitive and a young mom, but I didn't have a voice to speak. I think that's maybe something that's a common denominator for many sensitives, that I know at least, that many of us don't have that natural ability to have a very, very strong and clear voice, because, or at least for me, it's been like, I felt insecure. I felt insecure and mirrored a lot of the insecurity I had about why I didn't fit in. Or it's not necessarily just about fitting in, but I felt from my surroundings that there was a discord, a disconnect, a mirroring of me not feeling the same things as others, me not wanting to do the same things as others, me not having the same interests as others, because of my sensitivity. But at the time I wasn't aware. So what I did instead is that I took it upon me as something being wrong with me, or, you know, I kind of, you know, almost like an autoimmune, you know, disease, only you're doing it with your thoughts. And I think that's why I can feel just the, oh, it's almost like I want to have a release and cry, or there's just joy coming up for just us speaking about this. And I can feel it's super, whew, it's just all welling up, because it's also been kept in for so long, for so many. And I know, you know, you're Norwegian, I'm Norwegian, we grew up in Norway, where there's an openness for sure. But I also think, regardless of where you grew up, there's also this piece where the modern society have indoctrinated you or taught you that you just need to deal with it. Deal with it, soldier up, you know, like there's so many of these even expressions that we have that are like, suck it up. So that's what you do. And then because you're sensitive, and maybe some people cannot also handle the backlash of what happens to you if you said no, if you set a boundary, if you asked for a different room to sit in, a different, you know, food to be served, you know, for the sound to be lower, whatever it is, because for some people, it's not about the sounds, right? It's about the food in your case, you know, for me, it's about the energetics, like I'm so sensitive to energy in people as well, and environments. So yeah, I'm just deeply grateful, Cecilia, for discussing this. Thank you so much for coming on. I can just already feel that it's going to touch a lot of people. And if you care to share, I would really love to understand, like, how was it for you? How did you understand that this is a sensitivity? And, you know, what was your meeting? How, you know, I want people to recognize themselves. And my journey is different to yours. So, like, how did you understand that something is up here and that the fault is not necessarily mine? It's more, I just need to find the right solutions.
Yeah, I think for me, it really started with with the story that I told you, that was kind of my initiating into this field. And it was through the food. And I was maybe lucky to also have, I had already chosen food as a part of my studies. I was working in the field, so I had already chosen it a bit as my path. It was a really back and forward journey also, because I had this introduction and I was traveling at the time. So it was really easy to do what was good when I was traveling. And then when I came home, I had to adjust again. I had to find ways of being in society, meeting my friends, having a drink, doing all these things. And also I started working with food. So I started actually after my studies to work for Norway's kind of biggest food supplier. I was working with innovation and product development in Deli de Luca, and they were owned by Norgesgruppen. So I was really also in the center of the system and seeing everything from the inside and feeling all these things in my body. And that has been the gift for me, because since my body is so sensitive, I know directly what's working and not. Mm. So even though I haven't learned so much from a book, I learn it from feeling it. And I think I also, of course, have had a lot of friends working with healing from other ways, like meditation, yoga. So I've been also introduced to those type of people through that. And one of the things that helped me understand everything a lot more was when I was introduced to Ayurveda, which is kind of the Indian understanding, or the Vedic understanding of how we create health. And what was to me the main factor for really just, wow, this is amazing, was that it was telling me what I had experienced myself. So, of course, I learned also new things, but so many things. I was like, I've been feeling so weird. And this 4,000-year-old tradition is saying exactly what I experienced. Mm-hmm. And then again, I got this, like, why don't we talk more about this?
Yeah.
Because I am not, of course. I have a bit, I have energy. What do you say? Like in Ayurveda, you say your constitution, and mine is a bit different than most others. So
Okay.
I have a lot of earth energy in me, and that is in today's society not as common anymore. And that makes me maybe a bit different, but not that different. And that's what I'm also feeling like today. So many are struggling. And when you look at all the health issues that are related to lifestyle and
Yeah.
how big these problems have grown, one thing being the ones kind of where we know they're linked to what we're eating, but you now also have all these other things related to our nervous system and regulation of that. Like, I just read the book Scattered Mind by Gabor Mate, and I was just amazed by this kind of HD. How do you say that in English? It's
ADHD, yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
like how,
Yeah.
because of course it's a big spectrum, and he doesn't really talk about it as only like this diagnosis. He also talks about all these things you can do to help. And I
Yeah.
feel,
Yeah.
I was just feeling, for me, I don't have, like, for me, always focus has been easy. So, but with emotions, it was like an exact understanding of, wow, I've been so overwhelmed with my emotions my whole life. So I have to have been super sensitive in that area. And I got no help. Like, that's where I see with Ira now, it's so beautiful that I can understand her, like she's the same, and I can meet it. But if you don't have anyone who feel you, you're completely alone.
Yeah. Oh, you're touching upon so many really important things. I feel, just to take it from the nervous system, that's also where myself, after having had a nervous system that just broke down, just because it got to be too much, I think actually it was my body that had very young, throughout the first years of carrying a child, raising a child, working at the same time, studying at the same time. It had almost gone into burnout, but because I was so young, I managed to just like, whatever, we can do more. But I think it was kind of waiting for me. And I could always remember that the one thing, I think also this is like a single mother syndrome, the one thing that I've always feared the most is that I don't have enough energy to get through the day. It's been something that I believe is very linked to that breakdown, burnout, nervous system, because it's your I speak a lot to this because your nervous system is in fight or flight. So it's coming from a place of I'm not a neuroscientist, but high cortisol levels, high adrenaline, because you're never in rest. And probably also, in this day and age, we're not in natural sunlight. We're not in, we live in cities. We're on the screen all the time. Even like I told you before this talk, I woke up at 6 because naturally, because I'm in the countryside of France, the sun goes down around, I think, 7. I do stay up later. I do. But I actually have these sensitive, what is it? Like goggles, orange light, whatever it is. Like I have these that I put on for blue light. But I now, without doing anything, but, spending time in nature, eating the local foods, as you probably know, the foods here, we only eat organic mostly, but they're mostly regional because in southern France, you have enough sun to produce. All the cheeses and the bread are sourdough and things, and I'm also very sensitive to food, but there are things I can eat here that I couldn't if I bought it somewhere else, I've found, interestingly enough. But just to
Me
take
too,
it back to
actually.
the nervous
I had to
system.
say, I had to
Yeah,
say,
yeah.
experience in France this year, and I was curious to understand why. And I discussed it with our common friend Liz, because then she said the same. And I know a lot about farming and everything behind, and to me it have to be also something with how we process food here, like these ultra processing things, because the farming is of course different, but I mostly eat organic, so for me the difference was really in the dairy, because the dairy normally I react to, but in France I was totally fine, and that was strange, really strange. It got me
It is for
curious.
me too. It really is for me too. And there was just something I wanted to also discuss when, because you mentioned also our nervous system, they are compromised. We are, yes, one can say, yes, it's because you're sensitive. But as you and I know, many people are now becoming what we call sensitive. I actually feel it's a very limiting word in many ways, because for me it's actually a normal state. I'm not anything. I'm just in my normal state, I'm not different or special. But I feel that I am also helping other people to awaken to the fact that, like many are, you as including, we're just coming back to what is natural. We're just following the natural cycles. I'm doing this because I'm looking at the sun and at the green leaves that are outside. That's just natural. That's just the natural co-regulating cycle for our systems that will naturally regulate us so that we can co-regulate with our children, and so that they can be born through our wombs with a healthy nervous system. And I just wanted to end on that note. Like, I just also have been going very deeply into somatic healing, because I have an understanding of my mother being extremely stressed. There's no blame there, but she had three children, and I was born during Christmas. And I was supposed to come on Christmas Eve, but I think she held in, so I would come 3 days later, so the dust would settle. I truly believe that, knowing what Christmas does to your nervous system as a mother. And so I believe I was actually born in a womb that was quite stressed, because she had three children already. And I've had to deal with that as I've been going into my nervous system and healing my nervous system. A lot of the things that I'm kind of pulling out energetically from my body as I go into trauma healing, which it really is all of this anxiety and stress that's just sitting in the body, also coming from all the way back to when I was in the womb. And I want to mention this because many people are not aware of this. And I want to mention it also because it's completely possible to heal all of these things, even if you feel anxiety or you're more prone to depression or whatever it is. But I wanted to really attack a big subject, which is, there is also something wrong, I want to say that word, with the way food is being produced, the way, certain societal aids are set up, which are they're failing to meet these very basic needs, because they're based, I believe, on profit and not on the benefit and the support of people's health. And I would love to for you to share some of your perspectives on it, because it's a sensitive subject.
Yeah, for me it's I kind of have had a long since I kind of chose to quit my work in this big kind of food produce industry, and I started learning and going into biodynamic farmers. I was kind of working with that field for for 11 years now. And so for me as an individual, I have done a lot of changes. So kind of I have found my way to kind of cut off most of these things that are really not working for me. But that means also that, like, today I buy most of my farm from a CSA, and they produce everything from regenerative farming or biodynamical, and so I'm kind of cut off a bit from the normal food system. But what surprised me a lot was when I had my daughter. I knew already that I was sensitive to dairy, and I had read a lot about that and kind of how that could affect things, what was good for the baby and not. And I tried to understand, because I also knew that I had inward nipples, which meant that maybe it wouldn't be so easy for me to do the breastfeeding. And I was very aware of these things, and I had even a lot of people around me who work on these things, so that I was given so much information on the front side. And I had a beautiful birth, so I'm very grateful. Like, I had my birth in the hospital, but I was informed by my doula that there's something happening when the baby's out, where there is some routines in the hospital and things have to go quite fast at that time. And I didn't know at that time I knew it was important. I knew that there's some really important things happening when the baby have the first eye contact, when for the first time try to suck the nipple and get the first breastfeeding going themselves. So I was aware of it, but what happened in the hospital was not any, there wasn't this quiet time, there wasn't this peace. It was a lot of things. Suddenly this assistant was taken in, and I had completely said that I didn't want any assistants that were in training. So there was a lot of things happening that was really not okay also. And the result was that we didn't manage the breastfeeding good enough. And they didn't have enough knowledge to really test it either, because when we came home, I had this expert checking, and she tested and saw that actually Ida was strong enough. Like, we don't really know if it was her tongue being high, or if it was my nipple, or if it was that she was small. But in a way, it was just a system in the hospital who really pushed on the bottle feeding so quickly. And even though I knew that I didn't want to go that way, I had to, because in a way she was small, and they really have overstressed that she had to put on weight. And I was really concerned about giving her cow milk. And I knew that all these formulas that we have are actually with cow milk. So then I knew that they would probably give her something she really didn't take, because they're not supposed to have it when they're that small. So it's really strange that it is in the formula already. And then we got this other one that was one of the people working in the hospital had allergies in her family herself, so she did a really good job to support us. But then now afterwards, I'm just a bit concerned, like, that was the only alternative. Of course, I was pumping for half a year, even though, so that was a lot of work. But if they just would have not stressed not giving her the bottle, and just trusted that it would work fine, like, she was getting enough, but the problem later was that she had already tasted that really sugary, easy way. And she, like, if you look at her personality today, you understand that, of course, she's not going to go for the hard way if she gets a taste of the easy way. So it's just that I felt really that that was not a good thing. And for me, that is so into these things to give my daughter an ultra processed product made of soy with these international medical companies. It actually have glucose syrup in it. And that was her main food for her first year. And I'm so sad that that was her first way into here. But I don't have any other, it was not other alternatives. I have a friend who had a similar thing, and she made formula out of different milk products, but I couldn't give her milk, and I didn't have any other recipes or ways of helping her. So there I was just like, wow, shit, even though if you have so much interest, you find all the knowledge you think you need, and you're still so vulnerable in this journey, because you really don't know what's gonna come.
Thank you for sharing that. That's a very vulnerable journey. And I'm sure many women have been on that journey. You know, it's these things that happen during childbirth, and especially if you're in a hospital, that it just I feel like it's the rawest experience for those who have had children, you will understand. It strips you down to a very raw, bare, naked, you know, because you are. At the same time, I also feel I cannot help. It's just how I'm coded. But I cannot help to also feel rage, to feel anger on your behalf. You know, I'm very much like, we've talked about that there needs to be a voice. This is very much what my channel is all about. Being that voice of disruption and seeking these new solutions for our children, because it's just heartbreaking for us who wants to give, we want to give the best to our children. But then for many of us, the system is also a default, you know, or it has its faults, or, you know. And I believe that that's run by many agendas to hold back many, because I know that there are many, many, many solutions out there, but they're most of the time they're being pushed down because of larger companies' agendas, and because of an agenda also to, you know, if a mother kind of feels, and I'm going way out there and I'm fully aware, but it is also my channel. So, you know, but it's like, I also know a lot about how, you know, when you subdue somebody to the level where they have no choice, you are doing something to the human spirit of that woman, of that mother, which will set a mark for, I'm not saying this is your journey, but I'm talking more in general ways, that it will set a mark also upon her of how much she is allowed to decide on behalf of her child. And, you know, because it kind of acts a little bit like a force majeure, you know, like an entity that just comes in and makes those decisions when there's no room to discuss, to think, to, you know, have a moment to even breathe, to like go, well, what can we do? Are there other solutions? It's kind of just pushed in. And I feel, yeah, I think that's also why I was really interested to talk about it today, because I feel, you know, I just really believe that we are the change, and you are doing so much on that level, on so many levels, even just showing up here with your story today. Yeah, so that we can take back that narrative and that empowered state, and that use our voices so that we can have these alternatives. Because I feel in 2024, we should be able to, don't you think? like that this is the future for us, that we should be able to choose what we put in our mouth, in our children's mouth. And I, you know, I just feel like there's this, yeah, I don't know if you want to speak to it, or because obviously what you just shared was extremely vulnerable for you. So, you know, and these are things that we can blame ourselves for. And, you know, I've gone through many, many things myself. You know, I planned a home birth for my daughter, but I was rushed to the hospital with a emergency cesarean. It could not have gone worse in many ways, but then it went really well because she made it and she's fine. But, you know, this is also how life teaches us, and it's brutal sometimes. But I don't know if you wanted to speak to any of that.
Yeah, you just mentioned like this. Of course, it's super personal, but I had quite a long time to digest it, and it would probably have been more difficult if I didn't feel like all the other things was good. And also, I feel like we have worked so well on her now.
Yeah.
Because her system is really dealing, like she was, after this 1 year, she was sensitive to everything. Like she could almost not have. So we have really had a beautiful journey now with her, where she's becoming more and more robust. So it's also really possible to fix things. And I'm not really blaming myself so much, because I also think that there's something very important here that we both are going to learn from.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm also tapping into when we talk about this year and everything happening now in the world. It's, of course, really, it's insane for the nervous system to take in everything happening in the world today. And what have happened to me is like I got the ill, so I have an ankle, or my Achilles broke. And I think if I'm, it's a symbol of, you know, this small little part that actually takes down your whole body. And for me, it was a beautiful resting space, and also being able to digest more what's really going on outside. And what I feel is like there's so many things bubbling to the surface these days. Like we have all these things falling apart, like with our politicians, we have it with the food system, we have it with how we protect nature, it's coming with scandals, all these sex scandals. It's so many things that just are bubbling to the surface, and there's this transparency now that we haven't experienced before. And for me, it's been super fearful, because I get so triggered. There's something really old in my body responding to what's going on, especially now in Palestine. It's really this activation of something old, and it's almost like my body feel that this have happened before. I know what it is. My body know what it is. And it's understandable, because I have a history with my grandma coming from the north, and during World War II, they were really deported. They were, their house was burned down, all their animals were slaughtered. Like they actually have experienced that in modern time. Like I even knew her. And then if I think even further back, like Finnmark has this area with the Sami people. It was where the worst witch hunting stories that have been shared everywhere. Like all the witch hunting stories that they shared from Europe is actually mainly happening in Finnmark. And Finnmark is, of course, big region, but not that big. So the society was I think everyone who comes from, have their heritage from there, are transmitters of it. And what's happening now is really that all of that is being activated again. And I don't really know, like, how I feel, because I am, of course, hopeful. That's always been my standard way on meeting life. It's been being very positive and always full of hope. But I also see that I'm very scared of everything happening.
Yeah, I understand that. And, you know, on many levels, it's scary. It's interesting because I don't feel fear, interestingly enough. I don't know why. I have a lot of empathy, but I also think that I've prepared for this. It's weird to say, but because I can see what's coming in the field, I prepare quite, I prepare for what's coming without knowing what it is. So that's one of, like, my gifts as a sensitive. I just feel what's coming and I move with that. So it's almost like I feel sometimes spirit trains me through my life experiences. It's like, here, take some of that, here, take some of that. So I have to deal with my inner world in a very, very intense way. For me, it's always been very intense in the past, so that I have to, like, initiate into many life lessons. And I think what has happened to me, and that's where I'm kind of leaning towards as we're coming to more of an end in this beautiful share. It's so beautiful. We probably should do another one. But it is that what I've understood is that, and this is me speaking and how I feel, but I've understood that as mothers, and this was actually what came to me today, as mothers, we not only hold very strong coding around leadership, around empathy and leadership with empathy, but we have carried life in our womb, in our body. So we have so an utmost respect for the natural force that runs through us, be that Mother Earth, spirit, whatever you want to call it. But we also just generally have a deep, deep respect for life and life force, because we've birthed life through our womb. We know what that takes. And also, I don't actually think you need to have birthed a child as a woman to understand life force. If you are in connection with yourself, obviously, if you're numb to it, it's a different story. But I just feel, and this is my work, is that we know exactly what happens to our children when they're out of connection with their true spirit. If we give them the wrong foods, if we expose them to the wrong environments, if it's, I personally know that, but you also seem to know with that story about the milk. But then I also know very well, she's teaching me very, very diligently, especially my daughter, but also my son, it's two very different stories, exactly what is needed in order to correct, like, course correct. A lot of the reason why I have plugged out of the city and being this busy businesswoman that I thought was so important years ago is mostly because of my children. They're like, Mom, you need to stop do this. And if you're not going to stop doing this, I'm going to revolt. That was my son. It was just revolt, revolt, revolt. Get out of this, get out of that relationship. Start doing this, you know, start looking within yourself. You can't be angry at me. You know, you can't be angry at society. You have to look inside. And then my daughter, it's a different story. It's all of this deep feminine sensitivity. It's like long hugs and long, don't rush me. Like, I need, and I won't eat that, but I won't scream about it. I just feel like I'm learning exactly what's needed for the next generation. And I'm so bold to say that women, and especially mothers, are the new leaders of the earth to come. Because not only do we have this respect for life, but we also know exactly what the next generation needs. And is that the whole solution? No, I don't think so. But I want to empower women and mothers to know that they are powerful. And once a woman knows she's powerful and she allows all of those witch hunt, suppression, all of those layers to be shed. And, you know, we do that through transformation, through healing, through trauma healing, through energy work, whatever calls you, food, you know, working with the earth. That's your path. You know, we have all different coding and paths. But I believe if we all listen to that and if women really rise up, you know, we're so done with the patriarchy anyway. So it's like, I don't even want to refer to it. But I really feel that. And that's what I'm holding space for. And so, no, I'm not really fearful because I have such a belief that we are going to awaken. And because I see it, you know, to our coding. And most people, it's interesting because I've traveled a lot these past years trying to figure out, like, where am I going to settle? Going into, like, permaculture farms, like, who are these people? And I met so many people that have an inner guidance to go with the earth, land and be with the earth and make vegetables. They don't even know what they're doing. They just know they need to do it. And it's like they're following a thing. So they're quite confused at times as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's sense. Like something's going on. And that's why I'm like, I'd never, ever like push difficulty aside because we need to look at what's happening in humanity right now. But I will also say that, you know, yeah, like we are the answer. I really believe that. Us having these conversations, however small or mighty they can be, it doesn't matter. It's like giving permission to have, like, to share our stories, to be open about it, to, you know, and next time maybe a woman will say something. Maybe many women will go say something in a hospital. Maybe they'll abolish this horrendous milk that is bought, you know, and paid for by Nestle, you know, or whoever they are.
Yeah, no, that it makes so much sense to me what you're saying. And it's actually what I also felt at the moment, like, what can I really do? And lately, as you know, you've been coming to some of these community brunches that I've been doing together with two other women here in Oslo the last year, and it's been a really beautiful way of just, I don't know, creating space for having these type of conversations live. And at the moment, I feel a really big need for also having some of these difficult conversations in that type of format, because right now we're having them in so many channels, like in social media. When you talk about sensitive topics in social media, you can't really see the face of who's responding and receiving your messages. So
yeah,
you share things that are really vulnerable and you don't really know how they're received. It's scary. It's not a very natural way of communicating, and we're standing in front of really, really difficult things in humanity, and it is triggering people. So I think we need more intimate places to actually have conversations about this.
Yeah. No, your lunches are beautiful. I mean, and it's so much more than that. It's really like places where I've had such important connections and conversations of new people, and, you know, that also, and sometimes it's not even wanting to do something. It's like you say, we just meet, we just sit together. You know, I think so much comes from that, being in the physical space, exactly because of what you're saying. And that is also, I think, like another evidence of our dysregulated nervous system. This thinking that you have something to say on someone else's life choice or canceling or whatever that whole thing is. I can't even, you know. But I just feel that this conversation has been, I mean, there's so many deep topics here, but it's been very enriching for me. And this is only the beginning, I feel, you know, of us even here or going out in the world, just empowering each other and others to speak of what they believe in, quite simply. Doesn't even need to be about this, you know, what they want to see in the world and you know, with their small steps. But I did want to ask you one last question, actually, because I know many people listen sometimes and they're like, but how do I do that? I know this is maybe not like a 5-second answer, but if you were to choose like a few things that are very tangible in how you could help your child's sensitivity and sensitivity to food to kind of come back from what she was experiencing at such a young age, are there something, if you can, you could share how you did
that? I guess it's the same process as I experienced with my own body. It's like this: if you come from a very numb state, you first have to, you have to allow yourself to, you need to do the things that makes your system and your body actually able to speak to you again, and then you just have to listen. And it's the same with the children, that you have to tune into their nervous system. And if you are a mom, you can feel that. If you hug your baby, hold it, you can just see how easily they respond. Like, they can get a release, they shiver, or they can suddenly make a fart, you know, that the gas comes out. There's so many things where you can see that
it's true.
The meeting between your nervous system as a mom and the baby, they're so intertwined, especially the first 3 years. So just being a very good listener to with the food, you have to just very pay attention to what's happening, and of course not be super stressed about it. And if it happens that the baby gets something it doesn't handle, you just have to look at it as a learning experience, because if you put stress into it, it will also maybe make it even worse. But just pay attention, and then test and try that, like this eliminating diets. It's the only way I've learned how things work for myself. Of course, you can do blood samples to show to you, like, what is on red level, what is on yellow and green. And then you have to test and try yourself, because things are not static. It can change, and how your system is with stress and sleep, all those things also will affect it. So I think my best advice is just to really pay attention, and of course also seek help. Like, we had to get help without or outside the traditional system. Of course, we had to go to an allergy, like children allergy doctor here in Norway, and to be honest, I was just really angry afterwards, because what they said was, like, they suggested that since it was only creating inflammation and not a really allergy, they said that they actually would recommend us to just give her milk and give her medicine, because it's so stigmatic in today's society to be without milk. That was their suggestion. And I just know how the ripple effects of giving your body something it can't handle over time, that is not only one disease, it's not the one response immediately after, it just piles up on top of each other. Yeah. And I was really disappointed that they don't see that picture, that they're still that far behind of understanding how holistic these things connect to each other. So go a bit more alternative. We went to a classical doctor, but she just had specialized in in food and allergies. But so she had kind of gone out of the traditional and were working from a private clinic, and her speciality was this allergy. But you often have to get help from more specific
Yeah.
people.
Yeah. No, but those are good. I think you, yeah, you're mentioning many things that are just very important to, I mean, first of all, to kind of slow down, you know, and to feel yourself, and to, and if you don't know how to feel yourself and how to listen, there are many practitioners out there who know how to, you know, who can guide you. I think that's really important to have a safe container and to have somebody also following you, because it's emotional. It can be overwhelming as well when you are sick and you need help, or your child is sick and need help. But then you also, you know, it's a lot. It's just a lot on the nervous system. But Cecilia, just want to thank you for coming on today. I really appreciate it. I'm very, very sure that the people who are listening to this right now also are grateful to you for sharing your journey so openly. And I just, yeah, I hope that we will keep talking about these things. And yeah, I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. It was super nice conversation. I'm very grateful too.
That's good. That's good. So thank you, everybody who are listening. And if you want to check out Cecilia's stuff, I will put her name in the bio so that you can, yeah, see a little bit about what Food Studio is and what Cecilia is all about. And if you're curious, you can find your info there. And thank you so much for listening. See you next time.